We've been studying about the sheep the last few Wednesday evenings. And last Wednesday evening, the fellows in our fellowship were thinking about goats. So sheep and goats are part of the flock. And I thought maybe it would be fun and profitable for us to consider the goats and what it means to be a goat, and to look at some Old Testament pictures about that. In Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 31 beginning, I'm going to just read a few verses. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Many people talk about the sheep are saved and the goats are lost. And this is just simply not the case, because both are saved and are ceremonially clean. Well, I got that out all right, didn't I? In Numbers chapter 18, verse 17, it says, "But the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shall burn their fat on an for an offering made by fire, for a sweet savor unto the Lord." So both sheep and goat were, or could be used as a sacrifice for sin. In fact, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, Moses told the children of Israel to choose a lamb or a goat for the Passover. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." So you could have a goat as a Passover, for the Passover, or you could have a sheep for the Passover. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. And you could very well say that He could have been the Passover goat, but the Scriptures doesn't say that. But a goat could be used, and the Passover is a type or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 25 and verse 26, we begin the story and the account of Esau and Jacob. And in verse 26 of Genesis 25, it gives the birth order of the two boys. And it says, "And after that, his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." Now, the Lord does not use idle words. And the fact that Jacob took hold of Esau's heel is significant. And I think that we will be able to see that as we continue our thoughts. In fact, it's repeated in Hosea 12:3. "He took his brother by the heel." In Genesis chapter 25 and verse 32-34, we see that Esau despised his birthright. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point of to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The birthright gave many benefits to the firstborn. As a firstborn male, he was to be the leader of the family. He was to be the spiritual leader of the family. He would be given a double portion of his father's wealth. He would have twice as much money as all the other siblings in the family. And Esau despised this position that he had. And so I associate Jacob taking hold of the heel of Esau as the two of them swapping positions in the family. They were both in the family. Jacob was second born, and he would have been not in line for the birthright, but he valued the birthright, and when Esau was at disadvantage, he said, sell it to me and I'll give you something to eat. And so what did Esau do? He sacrificed his future on the altar of the immediate. You get that? We often sacrifice our future with the Lord on a bowl of chili. Can you imagine forfeiting a crown of honor and glory for a bowl of chili? Because that's what pottage is. It's red. It's red in color. It's prophet's food. And so Esau despised his birthright and sold it to Jacob. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, we are told that by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. In other words, the blessings of Jacob and Esau had to do with their inheritance. And our inheritance is supposed to teach us the value of the birthright. And we are to believe that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him. We will receive a reward and an inheritance being part of the family. And we need to value our position in the family as far as our inheritance is concerned. In Genesis 27, verse 28 and 29, it says, therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. This blessing here is separate from the birthright. There's the birthright that gives them certain material or blessings of money. And here is the blessing that Esau was counting on. But he didn't get it because Jacob means supplanter or liar. And so Jacob not only bought his birthright of his brothers, but he also took the blessing. And I hope you got out of this reading where it says, let people serve thee, nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. And then I want you to get, cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. This is the same blessing that God gave to Abraham. And it was the blessing that Abraham gave to Isaac, received that blessing, and then Isaac passed that on to Jacob. Now, in verse 41 of Genesis 27, it says that Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, then will I slay my brother Jacob. And the word slay can be translated murder. Esau says, I'm going to murder my brother. Well, in Obadiah 1:10, it says, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Why is that? Well, first of all, he hated his brother, and he was violent toward his brother in that he hated him. And in 1 John 3:15, we can apply that to our own life. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath age-lasting or kingdom life abiding in him. In fact, it would be better translated, if you're a murderer, you do not esteem life for the age. If you hate your brother, you don't esteem, you don't value ruling and reigning with Christ in his coming kingdom. Because if you hate your brother, you're not going to have that. And we know that Esau, he made peace with his brother, because we know that when Jacob came back from gaining his family in Haran, that Jacob met him and they were all buddy-buddy. But you know what? That was just the two of them. From that time forward, Esau's family sought revenge against Jacob and his descendants. And we'll see that in just a moment. We mentioned the fact that from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 11, it says, but Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come. Jesus Christ is ministering to us, what? Age-lasting life. He is ministering to us the Word of God. He is our high priest concerning good things that are coming. What good things are coming for you and for me? The coming kingdom, ruling and reigning, hearing well done, thou good and faithful servant. Those are the good things that are coming. And we want to esteem that, those good things, highly. In Romans chapter 9, verse 12, it was told unto her, that is, Esau and Jacob's mother, Rebekah, that the elder shall serve the younger. And actually, the greater is Esau, and will serve the younger. Now, what is interesting here is this. While he was deceiving his father, his mother connived this, and while he was deceiving his father, or in Genesis 25:25, it says that Esau, who came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau, or red. If you're a man and you got a name like Red, well, you're a pretty tough guy, and you're an outdoorsman and you're a sportsman. You like to fish and hunt. Well, that's Esau was that kind of a guy. He was a man's man. But he was hairy. And what is interesting here is this. The word hairy in Genesis 25:25 is different from the word hairy in Genesis 27:11. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. The word hairy in this verse is translated goat. Esau was a goat man, not a mythological character. He was covered. He was a hairy man. But here the word hairy means goat. Now, I put the Strong's definition here in our notes. It's from the word, 8163 is from 8175. Shaggy as a noun, he-goat, and it's translated devil, goat, hairy, kid, rough, satyr. I try to find out what a satyr is, and the only thing I can find out from Wikipedia is that it's a mythological character. But this guy liked to hang out with animals in very unpleasant places where owls and, you know, hang out in the wilderness. But anyway, that's what the word goat is here, and it's translated many times that way in the Old Testament. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, we see that Mount Seir is Esau's inheritance. And command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot's breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession or an inheritance. Then in Deuteronomy 2:9, we see the children of Ammon. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites. The children of Moab and then the children of Ammon. But anyway, in verse 9, it's the children of Lot, and this is the children of Moab. In verse 9, he says, distress not the Moabites, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession or an inheritance. Then in verse 19, we see the children of Ammon and their inheritance. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for an in possession or an inheritance. So we see the family of, in this case, Esau, and then Lot's children, and they are part of the heritage of Abraham. In other words, they're not in the lineage of Abraham, but they're part of the family of Abraham, in that he was a nephew. But anyway, let's continue here. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 38 through 39, we have a reference here to the wheat and the tares. The field is the world, the good seed are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of wickedness. The enemy hath sown them is the devil. When I see Esau and Moab and Ammon and their children, these are just simply tares that are sown among the nation of Israel to hinder them. And we see that in the reign of Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 10 and 11, Jehoshaphat is in the temple. He is laying it out before the Lord. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Who was it that was trying to get rid of take over their inheritance? Well, their kinfolks. Who is our enemies? Our enemies are those of our own household. And so we find the household trying to beat the nation of Israel, or Judah, out of their inheritance. And it just dawned on me, and I was going to look it up, but I didn't have any time in the service to look it up. But I'm pretty sure that the descendants of Esau were the ones who beat up on the old people and the sick and the weak, just like terrorists do. The Amalekites are the descendants of Esau. So they came out to take away the inheritance. In Ezekiel chapter 35, verses 2 through 5, it says, the Son of Man Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, because thou hast had a perpetual hatred of the children of Israel. You know what? God gave them an inheritance. And he says, I don't want you to bother them. You leave them alone. And you know what? Esau and his friends would not leave Judah alone. And they lost it all. They lost it all. They lost what blessing Esau got. And he says, I will make thee desolate, thy cities waste. Desolate, why? Because of the perpetual hatred of the children of Israel. In Isaiah 13, verse 21, But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls will dwell there, and satyrs, there it is, goats, shall dance there. Well, somebody's happy to be there. But anyway, can you imagine? Owls were unclean. You couldn't eat an owl. I remember one time I was doing some hunting and I wasn't having any luck. Couldn't find any rabbits. Couldn't find any squirrel. But you know what? There was an owl sitting up in a tree, and it wasn't doing nothing but just taking. You know, it was in the daytime, so he was snoozing. So I just shot it. You know what? I couldn't even take it. I know. I was just a kid. I couldn't even take it home and cook it. We did a rabbit that way. My friend, another friend of mine and I were out hunting, and we found a rabbit sitting in some grass. And we didn't have a gun. So my friend, he says, well, I'll run home and get my gun. He ran all the way to the house and got his .22 and ran all the way back down there in the woods. And we shot the rabbit, and we had rabbit for lunch. His mother cooked it up. But anyway, doleful creatures are where Esau's inheritance is. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, we just read about the dividing of the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He shall sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now, when I think of when I see the word shepherd, I'm thinking of a shepherd over the flock. Shepherd is one who is over those that are saved. Now, if you want to include the nations in the sheep and the goats, that's fine. But he gathered all the nations, and he separated out of his flock the sheep and the goats. And he shall set the goats on the right, sheep on the right hand, and the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So here we find the sheep entering the kingdom. But the goats are not. They're being denied entrance into the kingdom. In verse 41, it says, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, that is the goats, Depart from me, ye cursed, into age-lasting fire. Now what is interesting here is this. The goats were cursed. And it says, and whoever hates you is cursed. Remember, Esau hated Jacob. And we just got through reading that in Genesis chapter 27, verse 29, Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Esau cursed Jacob. And because he cursed Jacob, he was cursed. And here we find the goats are cursed. And we know, and I didn't include all of the reasons why, but primarily is this. the goats would not minister to the sheep. They would not care for the sheep. The children of Israel said, hey, we want to walk straight through your land, and if we need food, we'll buy it. If we need water, we'll buy it. We won't turn to the left hand, we won't turn to the right hand, left or right. We'll walk straight through, and whatever we use, we'll pay for. And they wouldn't let them do it. And they wouldn't minister to them. They wouldn't care for them. And by the way, age-lasting fire, there are some in the textual commentary have outer darkness. And that's from the fathers. Those are those who are writing about this portion of Scripture. But anyway, it's prepared for the devil and his angels, which is, of course, the lake of fire. Matthew chapter 25, verse 45, just confirms what I just got through telling you, that the goats did not minister to the sheep. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, my brethren, that's who he's talking about, you did it not to me. Of course, in the days of Esau, the brethren happened to be Jacob. In our day, the brethren are those that are seeking to do the will of the Father. Brethren are those that are sheep that are desiring an entrance into His coming kingdom. And there are some people that oppose that doctrine to the point where they will hinder and do everything they can to ruin your opportunity of ruling and reigning. And you know where? What? It comes from the family. It's not come from the outside. It didn't come from the nations. It comes from the family. Esau was part of the family. Moab and Ammon were part of the family. And they're the ones who hindered or tried to take the inheritance of Judah. Now, in verse 46 of Matthew 25, and it says, and these shall go away into age-lasting punishment, but the righteous unto life for the age. The word punishment here comes from the verb to restrain, to curb, to cut off. What that's telling me is this. In other words, the goats are not going to hell. They're just simply being cut off like someone who would not be allowed into the camp. And if you're talking about ruling and reigning in His coming kingdom and you are excluded from that, you're outside the camp. You're unclean. You're not fit. You're not worthy to rule and reign with Christ. And the word punishment here has to do with restraint, to curb, to cut off. But the just will have life for the age. Esau was rejected. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 through 17, lest there be any fornicator or profane person who treats sacred things with abuse or irreverence. That's what a profane person is. Profane person has no interest in spiritual things. As Esau, he despised his birthright, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how afterward he would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There will be tears in outer darkness for a wasted life, not ministering to other people. And that's what a family is all about, is caring for one another and ministering to one another and encouraging one another, not trying to rip each other off, figure out ways to get the better of somebody. We're to prefer one another, not prefer ourselves over each other. And so, anyway, I thought it would be profitable for us to see that what it means to be a goat, and the fact that Esau is a good example of what happens to a goat. You get to hang out with the owls. Father, I just pray that you'd bless these thoughts to each of us. May we be encouraged to be faithful to you. May we be warned about hindering other people in their walk with you. May we be aware of the fact that we can be used of you to be a blessing and an encouragement to those in the family. Thank you again for your presence with us tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.